is still holiday. And you're going to enjoy this, okay? Today is still holiday, okay? And it's amazing to be on holiday. Because there's this concept in the Bible where Jesus or God created the earth and then on the seventh day, he stopped. He just rested. And when Jesus came, he established the rest of God for us so that we can be in a constant, not a holiday, not doing work, but in a constant place of peace with him and rest with him. So that's really my prayer for you for this year, is that we will move from rest. Yes, there's lots of work to be done. I know some of you already just task lists fold up and the emails, you haven't even checked the emails. But that's a promise of Jesus. Jesus coming to this earth, he established a couple of things. One was relationship with God, and one was also just establishing the rest of God in our lives. The rest of God. The rest of God. Okay, we love hurrying around and running around and doing all stuff. We just need to rest. Coming to God's rest. Okay, great. That's just first sermon, so we're going to continue into the next sermon now. Okay. Okay. I love preaching in slots, eh? Just amazing. We're going to baptize somebody after the service, so I would love for you to say a Valenti. So there's a beach just around the corner, those of you didn't know. So we're going to go down to the beach and we're going to all celebrate new life. We're going to celebrate dying to the old life and being resurrected in new life. Okay, so we had a leaders camp over the weekend and we discussed a couple of things and we just started just thinking of and praying and brainstorming what does God want to do in 2016? What does he want to establish in our midst? What is his vision? What is his New Year's resolution for us as a church? And one of the things that really came out strongly was friendship amongst the leaders, but also friendship amongst people that doesn't know the Lord, also just the community. So a community of believers that's so tightly knit that when somebody comes in from the outside, it's not like they're excluding that person, but they're actually drawing that person in. Creating like a black hole, well, you know the concept of black hole, just there's so much gravitation power in that black hole, it just draws stuff. But that's what you create when you're just so closely knit together and when you create authentic and real relationships. So that's another sermon. I just want to throw it out there. Okay, so we're going to continue on to the third sermon now. Yeah. Okay. So here's my question. The first question for the day is, what is the ultimate pursuit of this world? What is the world pursuing at the moment? Can I get a couple of... Wealth. Okay, wealth.
Significance.
Fame.
Happiness.
Eternal youth. That's a good one. What else?
Power.
There's a guy that wrote a book, Money, Sex, and Power, the pursuits of this life. But that's the ultimate pursuit of the world. We're going after it. Well, this world's going after money, it's going after power, but basically just fulfilling our selfish carnal desires. That's what this world is after. But what is the ultimate pursuit of God? What is the ultimate pursuit of God? What is God doing? What is he pursuing? Because you know, we as a Christian faith, we believe that there's a God that's at work. We believe there's a God that he's actually doing something. He's not waiting for us to be just obedient slaves, but he's actually pursuing something. And he's asking us to co-labor with him in this pursuit. But what is this pursuit? What is the ultimate pursuit of God?
Relationship.
John, are you just... Sign language, I don't understand. What's that? Laughing, okay. God is into... He's pursuing joy. Is that what I'm reading there? Yeah? Okay. Great. Anyone else? Where's the go?
Hearts.
Our hearts, our souls. Us as people. He's pursuing us. So, we're going to keep it very basic for the beginning. Listen to this scripture. We all know this. But let's just read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I think we lose the significance of the scriptures because we know it by heart. Want so lief het God die wereld gehad, dat hy sy enigste seun gegee het. We just know it. But do we really know it? The Hebrew word for the concept for to know is actually an intimate relationship with a thing or a person that you know. It's an intimacy. It's what happens when people get married. Intimacy that form. Do we know what God is saying here? Do we intimately understand what God is saying here? He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Not youth, eternal life.
Yeah.
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Amazing. He didn't come to condemn the world, and we shouldn't condemn anybody. We shouldn't. But in order that the world might be saved through him, it's this pursuit of God. He wants to save. He wants this world to be his. He wants sons and daughters. He wants a living relationship with all of us. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. If you believe in him, you're not condemned. Any feelings of condemnation, that is not from God. It's easy to. If you feel condemnation, it's not from God. Yes, if you feel guilty about something you've done and you've given that feeling of guilt, sometimes it just helps you to come to that place of repentance. But if you repent, there's no more condemnation. Romans 8:1 says there's no more condemnation in Jesus Christ. Amazing! It's good news. But whoever believes, does not believe, is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So that's the ultimate pursuit of God. He sent his most prized possession for this, to save us, to have relationship with us, and to start a process of salvation, because we can't limit salvation only to that one camp, where your hand opgesteek het and something happened, you had a glorious experience, or when somebody told you, hey, you need to repent, and you had an amazing experience that morning. That's not the whole process of salvation. The process of salvation is becoming more like Jesus. More and more like the one that we love. The one that we worship. As it is, Luke 19:10. Luke just, he was a clever guy. He was a doctor, so he just summed it up. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. To seek and save the lost. But don't be like me. When I read this scripture, I'm like, okay, hey God, you want to seek and save the lost? It's amazing. You need to seek and save the lost. But I don't put myself into the scripture. I don't make it my own. Because I was lost. But because of Jesus, I am saved. I was lost because of Jesus. I was lost. I was going to hell. Because of Jesus, I'm saved. Same thing happened to my wife. Same thing happened to Edwin, to God, to people in this church. We were lost. We were on the wrong road. We were pursuing happiness in this world. But not peace, love, and just the kingdom of God. We weren't doing that. We never entered into the rest. But once we made the decision to say, God, I can't save myself. Because you can't. Nobody can. You can't make yourself happy. You can't get yourself to be at peace with who you are or with this world or somebody else. It's only God that can. But the more you enter into His peace fills your heart and it starts flooding your life and it starts flooding your relationship. And that is what we want for 2016. Flooding of our relationships. The flooding of God's peace through our lives. So it's the ultimate expression of His love that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. I was listening to this testimony of a guy who started his Pauline. He got saved because they were through the government in Iran, and then they were kicked out of Turkey, and then because of somebody that owed him money, he went to this church, and he said, hey, this guy still needs to give you money, but apparently he's going to this church, and the pastor was very clever and said, yo, but he's not here, he's in Germany at the moment, but just come back every Sunday and we'll give you a progress report on where we are at with just dealing with this guy and finding out where your money is at. So this guy started going to this church. He is a fanatic he's a radical Muslim. He says he was so in for Allah, he was disciplining his life as a Muslim. And then he started just engaging with this Christian weird people that are loving and are amazing. And he says it was so different. The kingdom that he comes from, the kingdom of Allah and the kingdom of Jesus Christ is so different. His wife went to a meeting, and one of the people that he really looked up to, one of the big theologians, he said that women are just muted animals, and that's the thing that he communicated with his wife, because that's how he grew up in the Muslim faith. So his wife went to a meeting with a bunch of ladies, you know, like a bunch of ladies talking, and all the girls were sharing, hey, and God told me this, and God told me this, and God told me he loves me, and God told me I must do this. And he's like, and then his wife came back and said, hey, this is amazing. Back in my faith, I'm a muted animal, but in their faith, their God actually speaks to them. God speaks to them. He can, they can hear him. He is interested. He is pursuing people. He's not out there wanting only our sacrifice. No, he is pursuing us. But because of sin, there's a massive chasm. There's a massive one. It's always, it's easy to, if you look at a problem, just Adam and Eve are, oh, hellas, that's mine. It's because of sin. But we're allowing it. We're allowing to, by being prideful and just thinking we can save ourselves. The moment we give that to God, he starts the process of sanctification, the process of salvation in us. If we look at just God's pursuit through the Bible, even in Acts, so Jesus, he goes away and his disciples are, oh man, they don't know what happened. Only two of them picked up Christ, they're like, what happened? It's Jesus now is gone. But then he sends his Holy Spirit. And what happens? The moment his Holy Spirit comes, what happens? There's always chaos, and it's amazing, and it's wild, and people start speaking different languages, Khoza and Zulu and all nine South African languages, and German there, and Portuguese, English maybe, Afrikaans, I don't know. It's just amazing. But what happened? The glory of the Lord descended upon these people, and then Peter stood up and he said, hey, this is the Jesus you crucified, this is what happened, and he starts explaining the story. And what happened? 3,000 people get saved. Because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. But when he went away, he sent his Spirit. And his Spirit is still doing that. To seek and save the lost. To seek and save us. All of us are at a place. Some of your, there's a part of in your life that's still lost. Whether it's your identity, you don't know who you are. You don't know that you're a son of God. You don't know that you're good at this. You don't know your abilities. You don't know your skills. You don't know your gifts. You don't know if you can love your wife the way that you should. You don't know if you're going to get a... There's some part of you that's still lost. And you just say, his primary pursuit was to seek and save the lost. And he's to seek and save. He wants to save that part of you. So it's for all of us. But it's also part of how mission in life, our pursuit in life is, hey, God, hey, I'm doing this, the Holy Spirit is doing this, but I need partners. I need partners. I need people to go out and seek and save the lost. These broken people. I was doing my hair the other day as Grand Saloon or whatever, salon mechanism. Hairdresser. And this guy was just so offended with church. He's just so offended. He was in a church, he got married, but later on he realized that he's homosexual. He got out of homosexuality, he's just, or into homosexuality. He's just so offended with church. And the moment he heard I'm a pastor, he just started speaking to me. And while he was speaking, he was going off about the church and about Christianity. He's like, hey, am I going too deep? I said, no, I'm used to this. I'm used to this. Not everybody loves the church. Not everybody is in favor of what Jesus did. Just so hurt, so broken, so bitter that he would just flow over with that bitterness towards a complete stranger. Yeah. A complete stranger. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Yeah. And I was saved. I'm not bitter anymore. I'm not offended. Yes, people hurt me. Yes, I've been offended. Yes, I've sinned a lot. Yes, I still drive my wife crazy. But I'm saved. Jesus loves me. And just that peace came into my heart. And, but also then just that inability to communicate that peace to him. Hey, oh, share it with me. I'm not going to judge. Just share it with me. How can I build a relationship with you? I don't know. But we should. That's why these doors are open. We're going to go into the world. We're going to preach it out to all the SWAT flag campers today. It's the ultimate pursuit of God. Seek and save the lost. Paul, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, he says this, to the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I must share with them in its blessings. So this guy got hit by God. He was actually persecuting Christians. And this is his mantra. This is his motto. He will become all things for all men just to save some and share in the blessing of what God has done. So what does that mean? It means that you will build great relationships with your neighbors. It means that you will get yourself to a place where you're whole. You will work from a place of rest. You will do your work excellently so that you'll get a platform into more people's lives. It will mean that you will pray about the next hairdresser that you go to so that you know that you can have some influence. That you can have an amazing love relationship with that guy where Jesus touches him. Jesus touches him and he saves him. All things for all men. And then Matthew 13:44 is also part of this response. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. I'm all from Scotland. He was Scotty of a lucky packet, just with some glorious treasure in it. Hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. God says this is when the kingdom of heaven starts reigning in your life, this is what you will do. You'll understand just the glory of the kingdom of heaven. You'll understand the glory of your relationship with God. That you'll be like, nothing else but this. Nothing else but this. Some people say it's first God, and then it's family, and then it's church, and then this, and this, and this, and this. But what Jesus is saying is this, it's all God. You'll pursue God through your family life. You'll pursue God through your work life, through your church life, your involvement, through whatever you do, through your sport, through your hobbies. It'll be just all God. It'll be all God. And then the next part is just, he carries on. He says, yes, that's a strong point, but I want to make it even stronger. And he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Because that was God's heart. Hey, I love these people. They messed up. I'm going to give all I have, my son. I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it away. I'm going to see him crucified because I love them. I love them. I love them. And then God says, if that heaven, that heaven that he's living from, the heaven that he has experienced constantly, that is just the presence of God just all over the place. If that heaven comes into your life, this is what you will do. It's your ultimate pursuit will be just God, I want everything. Leave everything and I want to go for you. I want to go for you. And that is where faith comes in. That is when we have some amazing people. I always get so excited when somebody comes to me and he just shares a testimony. I'm like, wow, this guy found a pool and he's selling everything. We have people giving away their whole salaries and then He doesn't know what he's going to live on, and then he gets four times that back. Just one guy. Then another lady, and I'm going to call her forward, Tracy, not a little bit forward, but she literally went and built a relationship with this guy in his school, and she got persecuted for him being converted from a Muslim to a Christian because of that. But she found a pull. People found a pull, and they were willing to give everything away for that pull. It's like when I found my wife at school, I thought, wow, that's a great pull, but maybe there's some other pull. So we broke up. When I was leaving for varsity and Jacobi's sitting in the back, she knew me in between season. I actually went out with one of our friends. Jacobi. In that period. But then, amazing girl also. And I have to say that, Jacobi, we just communicate that too. Okay, where? I'm digging this hole.
Somebody get him a shovel.
Okay. But then in my fourth year, I didn't have a girlfriend. And then my fourth year, I was just constantly thinking of this pull that I had. My wife. So I said, hey, I'm gonna step away from everything. I'm going to step away from all the girls. And I'm willing to pursue her heart. Somehow it makes sense to do that in a romantic relationship and say, hey, I'm going to get married to this one person. I know in the world we say it doesn't always make sense, but in Christian circles it makes sense. We're going to pursue this one woman. And that's, and God says, hey, I am love. I am pursuing you. I want you to respond. And this is how you respond. You just go all out for him. And then the last scripture that I want to read is this. The time is fulfilled. Jesus' first sermon, Mark. And he's preaching, he says, just a very short sermon. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. This pull is at hand. This pull is at hand. It's coming. I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to reconcile you to God. I'm going to allow you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's at hand. It's close by. Stick your hand high. It's at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. So it's close by. It says, but I'm gonna die, and because of my blood, my sacrifice, you will be able to get into this. And this is what you need to do. You need to repent. You need to change the way that you think. Change the way that you do life. Live a life of good fruits. And then something that we sometimes forget, we need to believe in the gospel. The Greek, it says the good news. I believe we also need to believe that it is good news. That pull is a pull. It's not some stupid, cheapy, lucky packet pull somewhere in the ground. No, it is a pull, and it's a genuine, the best that you can ever imagine. It's good news. It's good news that God came to save us. It's good news that He loves us. It's good news that we have people around us. It's good news that we're sitting here and we're having church. It's good news. It's good news to carry out. Wherever you are, you can just share the good news without any condemnation. Because we're not there to judge. God is the one that judges. And when people hear the good news, people are drawn to good news. When you read through the newspapers, you're like, oh, bad, bad, bad. Wow, this is a good story. We're drawn to good news. And we can live good news and we can share good news. So I believe God's New Year's resolution for us as a church and for the body of Christ and for us as individuals is to seek and save the lost. First, to be saved. To be saved, completely saved. That means just being in a free relationship, an open and free and vulnerable relationship with our Dad in heaven. But then also just not keeping it for ourselves, because that's very selfish. Even because the biggest reason why people don't want to share it, because we become vulnerable because our relationship with God is such an intimate thing. But when you start sharing it, people are like, well, that is good news. I need that. I need that. Okay, let's just close our... I'm not going to call you forward, but I want you just by raising your hand, if you feel today that God is calling you in the new year to lay everything aside and just to get your focus right and to get your priority right with God. Just living for Him, just pulling on your relationship with Him. And you feel like maybe you've gone astray a little, maybe you've just not at the place where you should be with God. And God just says, I am here today, and I'm seeing your heart, and I'm seeing your desire, I'm seeing this intense pursuit of you just to be with me. And I want you to just raise your hand. If you're that person, you want to just fully and completely surrender to God's purposes for your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, thank you for every hand that's going up. And let's just pray while we're sitting in our eyes closed. Let's just pray this prayer. Just say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you came.
That you came.
To seek and save.
To seek and save.
The lost.
The lost.
To seek and save.
To seek and save.
Me.
Me.
My friends.
My friends.
My family.
My family.
My colleagues.
My colleagues.
This world.
This world.
Lord, I'm forever grateful.
Lord, I'm forever grateful.
That you are a good God.
That you are a good God.
Thank you that you are so faithful.
Thank you that you are so faithful.
Even though I'm sometimes unfaithful.
Even though I'm sometimes unfaithful.
And Lord, I step away.
Lord, I step away.
From condemnation.
From condemnation.
From listening to the devil.
Listening to the devil.
From my pride.
From my pride.
And I decide. Just to fully surrender to you,
surrender to you
and your purpose,
and your purpose
for my life,
for my life.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I want all of us, just with the person sitting next to you, just share with them or her the one thing that you feel that God just. Maybe it was today, maybe it was earlier in the holiday, and that the God is just placing in your heart and saying, this is the one thing that you need to get right with Him. And if there's anything else, maybe some of you need prayer for healing or victory in your life or just overcoming some kind of fear, please feel free to share with the person next to you or just come forward. We love praying for people. We love just seeing God entering into somebody's life and just changing it completely, transforming it completely. Okay, cool. Great. And then we're going to have a baptism. It'd be great. I don't know if Valenti's fucking all one anymore. I'll just amal wat, eh? Cheryl, can I toestem and over to your mother that ons amal mag daar wees? Mag ons daar wees? Okay. So as jy klaar gebid het, and as jy, asseblief, if you haven't received Jesus, please come forward. It's as simply as saying, God, I cannot do this. And we will help you walk this road of salvation with you. Okay. Great.